If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome aboard. This is ConservativeNationMedia.com, Radio Free America. They're in. Duke Brooks here. Welcome to the Wednesday after the Tuesday before. It is the 29th of January, 2014, 8:01 Eastern Standard Time. Thanks a lot for being here. I may as well launch the chat room while I'm here, although I'm seeing on BTR right now there is no way to actually launch the chat room. So, you know, I'm very sorry, but there is no tab to launch the chat room. I just don't know, you know, what to do about that. But, you know, if BTR gets their act together and they're able to put up the correct tab in order to, you know, get the chat room operational, I will let you know. I'm presuming that you're listening on a podcast. I mean, this, you know, this modern, the internet way that radio is done is really all about podcasting. And that's something that, I mean, I've got to be honest with you, I'm not entirely used to it. I'm not, you know, like I came up in the actual radio industry and, you know, that is an awful lot of fun. It is tremendous. It is not the easiest industry in which a person can make a living. It almost was prior to around 1994. It was, you know, it was tremendous. If you had the right sound, if you kind of, if you could do what you were supposed to do, and if you knew some of the right people. Look, let's face it. It is not a question of, quote, it's not what you know, it's who you know, unquote. That at the very least, is a huge oversimplification. You do have to know how to do certain things. It is very, very helpful to know the right people. I mean, come on. You know, let's get serious. It is helpful to know the right people. It is helpful to know the right people when you're in elementary school. You know, that's just the way things are. No man is an island. No one is able. Incidentally, now the chat room is open. This is great. Maybe I didn't know the right people when I first logged in. Who knows? But no man is an island, as they say. No one is able to simply get where they want to go and do what they want to do with no help from others whatsoever, without having, you know, at the very least, a network of people from which you can draw either assistance or support or partnering or whatever. You have to know the right people. Very important. There are exceptions to that. And actually, maybe there are not. I was going to say, what if you were somebody that could run 100 yards in 8.8 seconds or something? From what I understand, running 100 yards in anything less than about 9.1 seconds is really something. I don't know. I'm not a sports guy. If you know, if you understand that, 718-305-7176. That is the number to call. You can set me straight on sports stuff because I don't know. But, I mean, if somebody can do that and they just have the natural talent to be able to run 100 yards in, you know, 8.7 seconds or some crazy number like that. If that's something they can simply do and they don't need any help, they don't need any coaching, I'm not really sure how much value a talent like that would have unless it was as part of a team. Even if it was just strictly, you're our track and field guy, this is what you're going to do. Just doing that by yourself, not as part of a team, not in conjunction with playing some other sport, I got to be honest with you, I just don't, it only things in the human race only have value in one way or another if other people find them as valuable. And I think this started during this kind of talk, at the beginning of the show here about the fact that we are doing this primarily as a podcast now. Sometimes there will be, and I track the numbers for the entire network. It's no secret by now that I'm the GM of the network, and, we're a small startup network. Conservative Nation Media, Inc. is the name of our company, and we are conservativenationmedia.com. And there are frustrations with it. It's like anything else. There are frustrations, and it is not easy to get these things done and get them done on time and all that sort of stuff. It's not easy. However, I am certain that there is a reward here somewhere. I think that there is. I hope that there. I hope. I pray. As Peter Sellers said in the Stanley Kubrick film, Dr. Strangelove, but I digress. 718-305-7176 is the number here to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here, about 7.5 minutes after 8 o'clock, after the hour, Eastern Standard Time, on this last Wednesday of January 2014. We love it when people download our programs. We love it. We love it when they listen live. But, hey, as they say, there is something known as a paradigm shift underway. In other words, the business model, the way things are done, the standard is changing. And, this is not exactly when I was a kid, a senior in high school, with an internship at a radio station in Philadelphia, the idea that this would happen, nobody had the slightest idea what the internet was. I think in 1972, I think the internet in a very, very crude form did exist back then, but it was strictly for transferring computer information from one office to another over phone lines that was set up by DARPA, D-A-R-P-A, DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. That's who invented the internet, not Al Gore. Still can't believe he said that. I have no trouble believing that the media gave him a pass on it. They gave him a pass on that. It's all right. It's Al. He's one of us. He hates America as much as we in the media do. And those liberals in the major media in this country, they don't like this country very much at all. They don't like what we stand for. They don't like what we're all about. They don't like what we have accomplished. That's their thing. People, when Ann Coulter will occasionally make a statement, quote, liberals hate America, unquote, there are a lot of people that get outraged over that. There are a lot of people that, will call whatever if she's on a radio. Oh, how dare you? I'm a liberal and I love this country. And then Ann will begin to very slowly take them apart. And she will say, what do you think, Mr. or Mrs. Liberal calling in to dispute my earlier statement that liberals hate America What do you think is the best thing that America has ever done? I heard this one day. I think she was on the air with Sean Hannity. This would have been back around, I think, right around somewhere 2004, something like that. And the liberals said, well, I'm not really sure this country has ever done anything good. All right, well, I rest my case. Yeah, I mean, seriously. You know, she said, well, what, you know, do you think you have enough time to list all of the bad things that America has done? And the caller said, no, there isn't enough time to list all the bad things. But don't tell me just because I'm a liberal that I hate America. Okay, all right. I'm not really sure what sort of delusional world somebody lives in if they say this nation has never done anything good. There are not enough hours in the day to list all of the things that the country has done that I think are bad. But don't tell me that, you know, I hate this country. Please. It is unbelievable. Delusional. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, the country's fastest growing and most up-tempo, upbeat conservative internet talk network that there is. And Michael B. Smith will, Michael B. will verify that. Texas right now. You know, we got pasted here. In terms of weather, yesterday afternoon it was snowing. It snowed, I think, for almost 12 hours yesterday, starting around 7 and going until almost 7 this morning. Sometime around then, it was just terrible. I moved out of Syracuse. I wanted to get away from all this stuff. You know, I really did. So we started off the work week yesterday, actually the day before yesterday, in a very big way. And we do the same thing here at conservativenationmedia.com. We start off every Monday in a big way with Inside Tennessee with my buddy Dave Vance. Now, even if you are not from the volunteer state, and Tennessee is the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check it out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. Liberals like to root for our enemies to win. You can say what you want about Vietnam. The fact of the matter is all of those, quote, kids, unquote, who were protesting the Vietnamese war in the late 60s and early 70s that were saying, bring the boys home, no more war, Ho, ho, Ho Chi Minh, you know, that kind of thing. Those people, look, they were rooting for a North Vietnamese communist victory. That's what they wanted. A lot of them were so dull and so uneducated and so slow and dim-witted that they never took the time to realize that if America pulled out all of its forces, which eventually that's what they got, and the eventual outcome would be exactly what it was. South Vietnam fell, North Vietnam swept in, North Vietnam now controlled the entire country, and anybody that Ho Chi Minh's successors in North Vietnam did not like in this country, the Jane Fondas, the Abby Hoffmans, the Tom Hoffmans, all those people, they didn't want to know about that. They just did not want to know about it. There's a famous interview from many years ago some kind of a big protest in D.C. Jesse Waters from Bill O'Reilly, you know, Waters World, that guy, he found Jane Fonda and he asked her, she was at a protest in Washington just watching it, he asked her whether she felt at all responsible in any way for the deaths of millions of Laotians and Cambodians who were killed by the Khmer Rouge and the Pathet Lao, etc. And Jane Fonda didn't even want to discuss it. She just didn't even look at him. She just said, just shushed him like that, like the arrogant, condescending you-know-what that she is. Now then, we're going to take a quick break. In a moment, I'm going to be joined by Guy Chesensky, former United States Naval Hospital Corpsman and combat medic. And we're going to be talking about all sorts of things, so you stay right where you are. Don't go away.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Hey, everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Now you know how nice it seems.
Welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. It's about 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Eastern Standard Time. It's about 8:19 Eastern Standard Time, January 29th, a very, very cold day here in the Mid-Atlantic. A lot of snow. Even Atlanta got pasted. Let's bring in now Guy Chesensky, my virtually lifelong friend, calling from Searsport, Maine. What's it like up there? How you doing, buddy? Welcome aboard, pal.
Hey, Duke. Thanks a lot. Nice to talk to you. How are things in Searsport? Well, it's rather cold up here, but this is Maine, so we're kind of used to it. I feel sorry for the people down in Dixie. They're getting bombed with snow they ain't used to, and I hear it's a real mess down in Alabama. A friend of mine has been trying to fly in from Amsterdam for a couple of days. She can't get in. She wants to fly to Atlanta, can't get in. So I guess things are bad
there. Yeah.
Hey, Duke, how did you like the State of the Union address? Was that an exercise, an amusement for you?
I will say this about the president. The president is a superior public speaker. There is absolutely no question about it, but I believe the president is probably, if he hasn't realized it by now, then it's probably too late that words alone do not really change things. There have to be actions, and actions have to be taken as a result of very solid and assiduous planning. And I don't think he's done any of that. So I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched little bits and pieces of it here and there. I don't know. How about you? What did you think?
Well, you know, Duke, I never listen to speeches because I'm aware of how powerful the spoken word is and how easily inflection can sway us emotionally. So when it comes to speeches, I tend to only read them. So at any rate, I read Obama's speech. It was a careful selection of the best possible spin, you know, factoids he could put together. And it's about what you'd expect from a State of the Union address. I did think it was interesting, though, that he sort of suggested, I don't know whether it's true or not, I haven't seen any policy to support it, but it may be true, that he seems to be, you know, very much behind natural gas, which is what he was talking about. He didn't mention it, but of course he's talking about fracking. I thought that was interesting coming from a supposed, corporation-hating, energy-hating POTUS. I mean, he virtually gave the go-ahead to fracking in the State of the Union address. Did you have to catch that?
I was, that's a portion that I guess I didn't really hear, but I'm not really sure that the State of the Union address is a time when national policy can simply be articulated and it goes right into effect. I don't know. I don't think so.
Then we could also consider the possibility. Did you happen to catch John Stewart? John Stewart's castigating the president, but he was sort of questioning whether or not the president is just thrown in the towel and decided to manage by executive order from here in. What do you think?
Well, excuse me, I really do not watch Jon Stewart because I don't watch Comedy Central. But it just doesn't appeal to me, really. But, I can say this.
Well,
it's not
about Jon Stewart. The question is, what do you think about the fact that, I mean, Jon Stewart simply laid out the accusation that the president has given up trying to deal with Congress at all and has decided to run the society now as best he can through executive order. And I think he was referring to the executive order that the government contracts and government contractors now will be paying an increased minimum wage.
The president's prerogative. I mean, the president is the, you know, when it comes to things that the federal government will do or will not do in the otherwise lawful handling of its own business, then I think that most executive orders from the president are probably lawful. However, the president certainly has no authority whatsoever to say, all American citizens except police and government employees must now turn in their firearms. He doesn't have the authority to do that. But I suspect
he would give that authority.
I am certain that virtually no one would be willing to enforce such an order if he came out with one. I believe that obviously would be unconstitutional. However, you know, he has said he doesn't think the U.S. Constitution gives the federal government enough power.
Why would you make that? Why would you propose that? Would you also propose that, for example, he probably shouldn't, I'm just trying to think of something really strange, shouldn't declare war on Rhode Island, too? I mean, he's...
Well, he wouldn't do that.
Do you have any
Rhode
reason
Island
to think
he
made that proposal? Or is anyone
Rhode
making
Island
that
is
proposal?
A blue state. He would never do that, even though it only
well,
has,
okay, then,
it only
okay,
has
then
five
South Carolina.
Votes. Yeah, that is something he probably would. But, I mean, you know, the president has gone on record quite a few times and in many different ways as being someone who is, at the very least, profoundly uncomfortable with the idea that virtually any American can own a shotgun, a semi-automatic pistol, or rifle. The president simply doesn't like that idea. Liberal Democrats, this is one of the things that generally makes a person a liberal Democrat. If you don't like the idea that the that
I don't
an
know.
American
all the liberal
citizen
Democrats I know are armed.
Well, you live in Maine.
You're preaching
okay?
the
yeah.
wrong choir to there.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But and there are other liberal Democrats who, for instance, Harry Reid, the reason after the Sandy Hook shooting, remember when you and I used to live near there?
Yes, very. I absolutely I totally
yeah,
do. In
Sandy
fact,
Hook
I have been
from
to
over
that
a year
school
ago,
because
the
I used
didn't
to go.
Get any... Say again.
Go ahead. Well, no,
I was
going to continue. I was just going
to. The reason that we don't have federal firearms registration restriction legislation right now is that Harry Reid knew that if he voted for such a thing, if he even allowed it to get to the floor of the U.S. Senate, that he was going to be thrown out of office the next time, and that
well,
means in 2016
you know,
he'd be gone.
Long been
it was
established that isn't the Supreme Court of the United States long upheld the right of U.S. citizens to own and bear arms, and
yep.
As far as I know, Duke, I understand your concern. I would be I would be a little concerned too if the government decided to unilaterally or just arbitrarily take Americans' guns away too. I mean, I think that that would be a disaster. But I don't think anyone's proposing that. I do think that I think you're right. That every time there's a disaster, Duke, the Democrats want to write another law. And
yeah.
If you look at the laws that they want to write, they wouldn't have prevented the tragedy that's prompting them.
That's
so,
exactly
I mean,
correct.
I think it's just a sense of people have a sense of powerlessness and their hope. It's magical thinking. It's what's going on. There's so much magical thinking in partisan politics now, Duke. It's terrifying to me.
That's
and
all
that's
that
the magical
is.
Thinking of the right. You know, the magical thinking, I mean, the left, the magical thinking of the right works differently. But again, it's the same sort of, gee, if only this would happen, everything would be great. And it's just,
well, give me an example.
Not true.
Give me an example. Give me an example of right-wing magical thinking.
Well,
give me
okay. Let me see. We're in awash with supply, and the rich have more money than ever. But we believe that a stagnated economy primed by giving the rich still more money, or not giving the rich more money, but allowing the rich to keep more of their money and therefore have more money, that's magical thinking. Okay?
All right, let me ask you this. Let's imagine, of course, quote, the rich, unquote, this is a highly relative and profoundly subjective term.
Let's use a term that's more values neutral, because I don't mean that as a pejorative. Let's call that the investment class, or better still, let's speak in pure economics, and let's just call it the supply side, okay? When the supply side has all the resources it needs and is capable of producing huge amounts of supply, then if the economy is fibrillating because the demand side doesn't have capital, then giving the supply side access to more capital, however it's done, whether it be through tax breaks or whatever, land grants, any way you do it, just doesn't that doesn't fix an economy. Do you see the point there?
No,
it's like the economy.
Well, yes, but
you know, it's like
I don't
the economy is like a machine.
Proposing.
You need a brake and an accelerator, and You don't understand that, or did I?
Well,
I
do understand that. Now, we're going to take a real quick break. Can you hang on? Can you stay with me for a little while longer?
Yeah, sure. I'll be glad to.
Okay. All right. Stay right where you are. We will be back with Guy Chasinski in a moment. Now, let us assume, I'm going to make a huge presumption here, that if you are listening to us on conservativenationmedia.com, that you are, in fact, a conservative. And at the very least, that means that you love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case this leftist government in D.C. drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Now, since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot where you can get everything from patriotic gear to survival needs to outfit and protect you and your family. Your pipeline to those essentials, well, it's right here at conservativenationmedia.com. So just go to our website and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That'll take you directly to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. This is where America always wins. More with Guy Chasinski here on Radio Free America, and more of your calls coming up. Don't go away.
Go, Caleb! Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah,
obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics, or RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Well, this is conservativenationmedia.com. The show therein is this one, Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here. The number is 718-305-7176. I am very glad to welcome you aboard, and I'm glad to be rejoined now by my virtually lifelong buddy, Guy Chasinski. Guy and I, a moment ago, were talking about the idea of what Guy refers to as magic thinking, and Well, Guy, you think that there's magic thinking coming from the left and coming from the right, correct?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I agree.
Let me give you an example of magical thinking on the right. back when I used to be an active Dem, I used to, you know, and I'm going back to the early 90s now, so this is, I guess Clinton was during his ascendancy, and you know how enthusiastic the Dems were back in those days, and I would try to talk to the Dems in my state about a problem that I thought was coming up that hadn't really made the scene yet, but it was going to make the scene, and it was, you know, the virtual eradication of the value of human labor as a result of technology. And it's, you know, it's a problem that's still looming over us. And but whenever I spoke to the Dems about it, the only thing they would say was, well, we'll solve that with education. Now, Duke, that's magical thinking. You know, one can't educate people to become nuclear physicists. We can't all be, you know, computer scientists.
Yeah, that's
an example
correct.
Of magical thinking on the right-hand side, or on the left-hand side of the aisle.
Even if we were all computer programming scientists, nuclear whiz-bang, gee-whiz, you know, atomic whatever, somebody still has to sweep the streets, and somebody still has to flip burgers, and somebody has got to dig ditches. You know, I mean,
well,
the human race is like that. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, but the point is, Duke, more and more labor is done by less and less people. That's the inevitability of technology, okay?
Sure.
So, but what is not inevitable in technology, as this technology is advancing, is having an economic system that's able to respond to it in a coherent way. So what happens then, Duke, is you have an economy whereby human labor becomes devalued because, you know, eventually it's cheaper to get a machine to do it, or, you know, it just changes the business model whereby you used to need 98 people, now you need 4. And so what happens is human labor is devalued, and that those humans are left bereft of being able to be viable economic units in the economic world they live in. And that's what's happening
right
now in America.
Unskilled labor is always a low value.
And when you talk to
value.
The Dems about this, they don't want to talk about it because they don't have a solution. So they play the magical thinking game. Well, Guy, it's just like Cultural Revolution and the Industrial Revolution, and the people moved off the factories and they went into the factories. And now the people are going to lose their jobs in the factories and they're going to get jobs in high tech or something, but they need more education, Guy. That's what they need. They need more education. It's magical thinking. People don't want to acknowledge the realities that we have, that, you know, sometimes the good things in life so upset the way society works that it's difficult to recover from it. And that's what we're going through right now. And we just don't want to acknowledge it.
Well, in what area is, I'm not sure that I see at this moment a parallel to the rapid industrialization that took place in Britain and other English-speaking regions
in the
mid-19th century. I don't know.
Look, Duke,
you know.
Well, let me give you examples, okay? I'm up here in Maine, okay? The paper industry.
Yeah.
Okay, right now, the paper industry used to employ, I don't know, I'm going to make up a number, okay? 175,000 people here in Maine, okay? And they produced X paper, okay? Well, now that same industry produces 5X paper, 5 times as much paper. And now they have 17,000 laborers. Okay, after the last 20 years.
Okay?
When you take that many jobs out of an economy, and, you know, you're not going to take these paper workers and turn them into computer scientists or plastic surgeons.
No, that
just
is
not
exactly
going to happen.
That's
so
exactly
what happens
and
then is the economy suffers.
110 years ago, there were an awful lot of people in this country that made their living in buggy whip factories, okay? There might be
I don't know, maybe a dozen people in the entire country now that make their living
buggy whipping. And you can say, oh, it's like buggy whip factories. But Duke, all you have to do is look at the mega statistics to see what's going on. The number
What do you think should be done about it?
I don't necessarily have a proposal for the problem. I'm just describing a problem. Just because I don't have a solution doesn't mean the problem's invalid.
I understand that, but I mean, I'm not entirely sure that these types of changes, sometimes they have had a very, very negative effect on societies, and many times they have very negative effects on individuals, but I'm not sure that they derail all of civilization as certain things happen.
Well, civilizations
adapt. You know, the
Brits
didn't like industrialization because, they realized
civilizations
that
adapt.
A lot of them were being
I mean, how did our civilization adapt to industrialization? What was the social contract change? We changed the social contract, Duke. It was called unions. That changed the social contract. Well, actually, the thing that really changed the social contract, credit where credit is due, Henry Ford realized, you know, if I pay my workers enough money, they'll buy my bloody cars. That man practically invented the middle class. But alongside of him was all these unions that were making people, you know, who worked for a living actually start to make some money. That created the middle class. But that was in response to industrialization. That's how we responded. That's why the economy recovered from industrialization, because that had the same problem. They were producing crap, but people were working 14 hours a day in factories when they were 8 years old. There was no consumer class. They had to create a consumer class. Well, what we've done now is now we've got industrialization on steroids, Duke.
Yeah.
It's on steroids. And it's not just industrialization. It's everything, Duke. It's the radio business. It's education.
Tell me about it.
It's nursing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's every
How do you think
industry.
The Chinese are
I don't
handling
care if
this.
You're a bloody thermonuclear physicist. This is going to affect you. We have machine technology that thinks now, Duke. Duke,
how are the Chinese
I come from a family of people who are weird mathematically. We can do great big sums in our head. Those people in the 15th century were called computers, and they worked for a living, and they made a lot of money. Well, the computers put them out of business, okay? So
adding machines.
Technology
yeah.
can even take thinkers and put them out of business. Think sure. about scholarship. How many people make a living doing research now?
Well, depending on the, I
want to find something out. You don't, I mean, now it takes two-tenths of a second. You've got the information of the world at your fingertips on the Internet. That liberates us as scholars, but it devalues us as scholars, too. When you talk to a politician about a problem, I don't care, left, right, center, they don't even want to talk to you. They just don't.
But
these are the problems we're really facing.
Is it up to politicians? Are they obligated to solve every single problem that every individual ever encounters? Is that the job of government?
Did I suggest that? I'm talking about a mega problem facing our entire society. And that is
are they required
the kind
to solve
of
those
situations and events and conditions that, yes, of course, our politicians had best be paying attention to them. That is, in fact, the job of a government, is to look out into the future and say, wow, okay, given what we're doing now, what's likely down the pipe? That's called leadership, Duke. Of course that's what governments are for. It's not to solve every problem of every human being, but it's to look and say what our definition of the job of government is.
But that's all right.
Well, what do you believe the job of government is?
Protect the public safety and the military and physical defense of the nation state. That's it.
Right.
You know, that's it. I mean, in the U.S. Constitution, as far as I can tell, it doesn't say anything about NASA. I'm a huge fan of NASA.
No, I think you're taking what you like to think of as a strict constitutional approach to what the point of our U.S. government is.
Correct.
No, I understand that. I appreciate that. I don't agree with you, obviously, but I'm not sure you agree with you either. Let me ask you, should Thomas Jefferson have purchased the Louisiana Territory?
Under the U.S. Constitution, he had no authority whatsoever to do it.
No, he had no authority to do that. Okay?
I'm glad you're not going to ask me whether Abraham Lincoln had the authority to suspend habeas corpus, because he absolutely
did. Why should I ask you that? You and I both know he didn't have the authority to do that.
Oh, no, he absolutely
you and I
did
both
have
know,
the authority
You and I both know,
because
we're both historians, that he did that, claiming that he had that right under the Presidential Emergency Powers Act, which isn't part of the Constitution, but in fact, the president can't declare that. Only Congress can declare that. So, yes, he violated the Constitution for the month or 6 weeks until Congress authorized him to do that. You are absolutely right, but I didn't ask that question, and that's why.
Now, please, can you bear with me for a few more moments? I have to take a break here. And then you and I will speak again if you have a couple of minutes.
If I'm not talking too much, sure.
Okay, no, I'm glad you're here. Just stand by and hang in there. Speaking of the U.S. Constitution, he said with a grin, it should come as no surprise that our Constitution, which is the basis of our nation and the central core of our values, is under attack. It sometimes seems that everybody and his brother is trying to figure out an end run around the articles and amendments of the greatest governing document of all time. And if you are tired of leftists and unfriendly political forces telling America that our Constitution is a mere footnote, that would be a code word for, quote, living document, unquote. You've heard that term. Be advised that a lot of real Americans like you and like me are going to come together at the Defend the Constitution rally in Waynesboro, Tennessee, just an hour southwest of Nashville, on the weekend of April 26th. Great speakers like Scotty Nell Hughes, Karen Vaughn, and Joe Carr, and our very own Kathy Hinners will be on hand to name just a few. A lot of great music, a lot of great food, and a splendid time is guaranteed for all. Go to defendtheconstitutionrally.com to learn more about this great event, and I do very much hope to see you there. Stand by. We're going to take a brief break. More with Guy Chesensky here on Radio Free America. More of your calls coming up. Don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Books on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So tell, baby, tell your true heart.
Say- Welcome back. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. That, of course, Paula Abdul and Blowing Kisses in the Wind. I think from 1993 or something, I didn't really find out about the song until about 94, maybe 95, but I love it. 718-305-7176 is the number. The chat room is open for business. Guy Chesinski back with me. Guy, a moment ago in the chat room, somebody wrote, government doesn't solve problems, it creates them. And I think I agree with that.
Yeah, there's a school of thought that can make that argument. You know, the anarchists
well, just
definitely
where is that school
that.
Located? Who does?
I'm sorry?
Who believes?
Duke, I didn't hear.
Who believes that? Say again.
Do I believe that government certainly can create problems, without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, often do. Governments are often captured by people whose primary function is not the commonwealth. It's not the people that they're governing. It's themselves or a small select
yeah.
group. In fact, that's more common in government than not. You know, I often think that basically governments are in three possible states of affairs. And I'll use class terms here. But basically government is the king and the aristocrats or courtiers around him. That's really what governments always end up being.
To a large extent, yes.
A government can either be, you know, happy with the king and the aristos working together, or the aristos can be on the ascendancy, or the king can be on the ascendancy. And, you know, all governments kind of fit into that pattern, no matter what you call them, no matter what their economics. Now, right now, Duke, I think our country is in one of those states where the aristos are not very happy. So they're attacking the king, and now in this case, the analogy is that the king is our, say, federal government. And so they're not very happy about it. And they are, you know, quite rightly showing their strength by shaking the very foundations of the government. And I think they're doing a pretty good job of it. The corporations are incredibly powerful organizations, much more powerful, I think, now than our government will ever be again.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, I have never yet seen or heard of a corporation that can send its own employees armed with guns to lock citizens up in its own jails. Corporations can't do that. Government can do that, but corporations cannot do that. Corporations might be able to get government to do it for them, but they cannot do it themselves.
That's
and that's
true.
Why
that's
I
the argument that the anarchists make all the time. That's their argument against all forms of government.
I am
You're
very, very
right.
worried.
I mean, that's definitely true. What you said is very true.
Now, here's where I, you know, as far as anarchists are concerned, I mean, frankly, that is a state in which the human race in civilized, it cannot exist that way. And
it doesn't
sadly,
last very long.
Not very long. Sadly, as has been observed, if all men were angels, then we wouldn't need a constitution. We wouldn't need God. But the fact of the matter is,
right.
almost no men are angels. You know,
exactly.
I'm not sure how many of them are trusted. I don't think any of them are.
You know?
I think ultimately you and I both understand the problem. The problem is original sin, Duke. Not to get too – I don't mean that in a religious sense, but I mean it's the perfect term, original sin. Power corrupts.
Yes, it does.
And even the best –
yes, it does.
I think even the best people, when they get into power, they get removed from the reality of the problem. And it corrupts them.
Well, that – yeah. And, you know, one of the, as far as I'm concerned, the single largest problem that we have in government in this country is the federal civil service laws that make it virtually impossible to get rid of a bad government bureaucrat functionary who is a burden on the taxpayer. Once those people get in there, you're pretty much stuck with them. It takes almost an act of Congress to get rid of them.
It's kind of a class thing, isn't it? You know, I mean, you know, once you get on the inside, once you get into some situation that's your rice bowl, you're gonna guard that jealously, and that rice bowl, that corporation, that organization, be it government or, you know, Monsanto or, you know, whatever, if you're in some powerful organization and you're doing pretty well in this country right now, you're doing okay. But that is a situation
now,
for seven out of eight Americans.
More money than
seven out of eight
Americans
employees. Do not live in that cocoon.
That is
sadly.
Correct. That's right.
You know,
which
that's most
you know,
of us.
That, this
Whether
is
or not
why
we're
I think that
sitting out there in front of Wall
the
Street
way.
Complaining about let's tear down Wall Street, or whether we're with the Tea Party people out there complaining about the corruption of government. Notice they're both complaining about the same people, Duke. Have you ever noticed that?
Well,
your right-wing friends and my left-wing friends have one thing in common. They know the system is rotten. And that terrifies the masters,
too. It depends upon which part of which system they think is rotten. I mean, the Occupy Wall Street people, a lot of them think that this country should unilaterally disarm and that we should not have a military at all. That's obviously suicide.
Nobody at OWS said that. Duke, that wasn't part of their message.
We've got to turn that Pentagon down. You know, there they were saying that
if you want to see what OWS says, they have a website up that basically tell you what they believe. My objection to OWS's message was that they declared the 1%, boy, that really annoyed me, the 1% are like the guilty party in America. And, dude, that's like guilt by association. In this case, it's guilt by economic class.
And
it's terrifying to me when people think like that.
That's how
the Nazis thought. Oh, it was the Jews
and
that were responsible.
And that's how the Bolsheviks
1%.
Thought.
It's nuts.
I didn't like OWS
for that.
Yeah, they were nuts. Hey, Guy, listen, I'm going to have to
go
along here, but I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that you've been on the air with me tonight. I really love talking to you. I love hearing your point of view about things. We're not singing from the same sheet of music in a lot of areas, but in a lot of other areas we are, and that's a good thing. And I think that
we
should do this again really soon.
Both love America.
Yeah, absolutely.
So listen, pal, I'll talk to you later.
In the summertime, Linda and I will be up there because she wants to
eat
lobster, and that's what I'm going to do, you know?
Bye-bye.
Have a great night, pal. Thanks very much. All righty. Guy and I have been friends since 1987, and he is a very, very good guy, and I am just very, very glad that he was able to be on the air with me tonight. Anyway, we are going to be bringing you the news momentarily here from Talk Radio News Service in Washington, Jeff Holtzman. And more of your calls coming up, so don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here. conservativenationradio.org.
Good evening. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. In his State of the Union address, President Obama floated the idea of retirement savings accounts for all working Americans.
It's a new savings bond that encourages folks to build a nest egg. My RA guarantees a decent return with no risk of losing what you put in.
The White House says that the savings accounts would be very simple and very safe vehicles that will require just $25 to open and just $5 per pay period. Once an account grows to $15,000, it would roll over to a traditional Roth IRA. Employers would not have to contribute, but like a Roth IRA, savers would be allowed to withdraw money without facing any sort of tax penalty. It's an interesting concept that certainly addresses a problem for many Americans. According to the Consumer Federation of America, only about 50% of the country is saving money at a sufficient rate. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Alrighty, welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. About 4 minutes after the top of the hour, that means about 55 or 56 minutes left to go in this edition of RFA. Coming to you, I see quite a few people now motoring around in the chat room, always a good thing. The number is 718-305-7176. If you want to chat about some things, I wanted to speak just briefly about the State of the Union address. I'm not quite as cynical about the president as a lot of people are, although, frankly, if there has ever been an American president that is deserving of high degrees of doubt and cynicism on the part of the American people, it would be this one. As far as I am concerned, a guy spoke about magic thinking a few minutes ago. As far as I'm concerned, the liberals are all about that. They are very focused on, wouldn't it be nice let us pretend that certain conditions exist and certain other conditions don't, and our pretending will make it so. I'm reminded of the time when I think it was President Clinton that was able to get the Senate or the Congress to go along with him in protecting the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge from those horrible, avaricious, rapacious oil companies. My God, they're going to kill all of the innocent animals. I mean, this was the hysterical sort of rationalization for taking a couple of 100 million barrels of oil off the market. So they battled about this. The Department of the Interior put out a propaganda piece about it. A lot of simple-minded people bought into it. And the president signs it. He takes ANWR out of the American oil equation. Guess what happened the next day? Oil and the liberals, the day after that, were shocked. They were shocked and they were stunned. They couldn't believe it. Even Teddy Kennedy came out and said, why would this have anything to do with ANWR? I don't get it. I mean, liberals simply do not possess the ability to understand how the laws of supply and demand operate and what kind of a background they provide for the economy. I mean, facts are facts, but when you reduce supply, if demand remains the same, price will go up. Someone will raise the price of whatever commodity it is that we're talking about. Others will see that that price has been raised, and they will then in turn raise theirs. If it gets to the point that the people that want to buy the commodity no longer find that commodity to be a good or reasonable value, or they no longer find that commodity to be something that they want or that they can pay, they can afford to buy, guess what? Demand then will go down. And the people that control the supply will then lower the price in order to make their supply more. This is barnyard stuff. I mean, come on. But the liberals, they're shocked. They are shocked when that is unbelievable. They just can't believe it. 718-305-7176, the number here at Radio Free America. I don't know if you had the opportunity to listen last night to our two, you know, these are kind of our big guns. These two programs on Tuesday night are, I think to a large extent, are a couple of our heavyweights. We've got another heavyweight tomorrow night. His name is Matthew, and I'm hoping to hear from him soon. I've got a feeling we're going to be hearing from that crazy constitutional scholar, and I don't mean a postcard. But last night we had Sam Thurmond, Cliff Stewart, Ethel Lopez on A Just Cause. This is a very, very interesting show, and I really want to recommend it to you. It is on conservativenationmedia.com on Tuesday nights, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, which is 6 p.m. Mountain Time. They come from Colorado Springs. 8 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern time. And their show, very interesting, extremely interesting. The show is about the fact that sometimes, and you know what, I've been an American since moment number one, since day number one, and I believe in the principles and generally the execution of our system of justice, our way of life, our Constitution. These are things that I believe are generally good. Not always sure that the people that execute them are always good, but I believe the principles themselves are sound. However, Sam and Cliff and Ethel have guests on who are people that have been wrongly convicted of serious crimes and have been put in prison for long stretches. I mean, you know, we every once in a while on the news, it's, well, actually it seems more likely more often now than it had been many years ago, now that we have DNA testing. But they will bring in people that were accused of horrible crimes, and they had they were convicted, but then DNA or other forms of indisputable evidence, or sometimes just the recantation of a statement that had previously been made by a witness, and these people will be exonerated. These are innocent people that have been wrongfully convicted of crimes that they didn't commit. As far as I'm concerned, if you're an American, that's about the bottom. That's the very, very bottom. You know, an innocent person being put in prison. Our entire system, as far as I know, and I've read about this actually quite a bit, the theory behind our system is that it is better to let guilty people go free than it is to convict an innocent person. And frankly, I would rather have quite a few guilty people walking around than have an innocent person behind bars. I'm sure the Founding Fathers would have agreed, and, you know, back then having a guilty person wandering around was not too much of a big deal, because back then they took the Second Amendment very literally and very seriously, so everybody had some kind of a firearm. There really were not all that many murders in the country back then, but well, there sure are now. Been to Chicago lately? But I digress. You know, our company, conservativenationmedia.com, is growing, no question. And we thought of a pretty good way to expand our lineup, and that is to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central on Conservative Nation Media. .com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Are you going to Tennessee at the end of April for the Defend the Constitution rally? I hope you are. Linda and I are going to try to get down there. I think we really, you know, maybe we can, maybe Linda and I can go to that the end of April, and from there we can turn northeast and head up to America's Vacation Land, which I believe is what Maine is called. I've never been to Maine. I really would look forward to going there. My buddy Guy and I, we had a tremendous amount of, he's got a son out and moved out to the West Coast. His wife Dorothy, I think, still lives in Maine. I think she's a newspaper editor, even though they are separated now. However, Linda loves lobster like all ladies do. And I really, really want to take her up to Maine, and so that she can sit at a lobster shack or, you know, some other place where the people say, hey, you know, and so that she can enjoy that food, which I find to be literally incomprehensible. I don't know. Why on earth? I don't get it. I don't get it. Anyway, we're going to take a brief break here. We've got Civil War history coming up in a moment. More of your calls, more commentary at stuff about what's going on in the world today. Stay right where you are.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Wildfires burn millions of acres each year. And each year, wildland firefighters like Fire Chief James Hall battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone.
A single ember that escapes from a wildfire can travel more than a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home, your community, or more. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. But you can do something firefighters can't. You can act now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. You can reduce the risk. Do your part. Go to fireadapted.org.
Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Hi. This is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
All righty, welcome back, and of course that familiar music, The Ashokan Farewell by Jay Unger from the Ken Burns film The Civil War, was on PBS back around 1989. Tremendous. One of the critics back then said, if better use has ever been made of television, I'm not aware of. I would have to pretty much go along with that. It was spectacular, and one of the things that really got me interested in the Civil War, and I'll tell you right flat out, the Civil War was incredible. We are now in the sesquicentennial, 150 years since the Civil War, but we are 200 years since the War of 1812. In fact, this September, September 14th, I believe, will be the 200th anniversary of the writing of a poem that was called The Defense of Fort McHenry by an American lawyer from Frederick, Maryland, named Francis Scott Key. And the Battle of Fort McHenry is what he saw, and that inspired him to write the words, which became a poem and were published, Oh, Say, Can You See, by the Dawn's Early Light, et cetera, et cetera. It was later set to an English drinking song from the 18th century called To Anacreon in Heaven. I have no idea what that, who Anacreon was. It must be some Greek demigod or something. I have no idea. Not the Brits, you got to love them. What a bunch of bloodthirsty murderers, but you got to love them. I love them. Always have, always will. Of course, we never had to fight them in the 20th century, and I'm glad we didn't. Anyway, on this day in Civil War history, Friday, January 29th was a Friday in 1864, cavalry skirmished at Medley, West Virginia. Confederates attacked the steamer Sir William Wallace on the Mississippi River, an example of their continuous harassment of Union shipping. Skirmishes flared near Cobb's Mill, northern Alabama, and near Ben's Church and Smithfield, Virginia. An affair occurred near Gloucester Courthouse, Virginia, January 29th to February 23rd, a federal cleanup expedition operated from Vicksburg to waterproof Louisiana. Bombardment at Charleston intensified from the 29th to the 31st with 583 rounds fired. The Confederates added a new ironclad at Charleston to their defenses. This, of course, as it is every Wednesday on this time, is from a book called The Civil War Day by Day, an almanac, by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. Very interesting. You know, it's good to keep an eye on what happened. I mean, if you know history, if you know the past, you will see the future every single time. I like the way they refer to certain battles or skirmishes as, quote, an affair. You know, it's sort of like the most interesting alliteration that I've ever heard for the Civil War was the unpleasantness. And I think almost everyone would agree that the Civil War was pretty darn unpleasant, you know. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. Thank you very much for being along this evening. I mean, I admitted this earlier. I didn't watch the entire State of the Union speech. You know, the guy is a very good public speaker. There isn't any question about it. Martin Luther King was a very good public speaker as well. Franklin D. Roosevelt was a very good one. Adolf Hitler was a very good one. But I think that the president is a very much a serious liberal. And as such, he is someone who, at the end of the day, believes that government has within it the ability to provide everybody with everything they need. And the fact of the matter is, government simply does not have that ability. It doesn't have the legal authority to do it. It just does not have the ability to do that. Some people will say, this always cracks me up, yeah, well, government has the right to take away from the... Hey, I've got some news for you. Government does not have rights. You look in the United States Constitution, government does not have rights. Government in this country has obligations, duties, authorities and powers and responsibilities, but it does not have rights. The people have rights in this country. Now, recently, and by that I mean during the last 10 or 15 years, I guess, I have run into many government employees who will say, our department or our bureau or our division has the right to stop you from mowing your lawn or, government doesn't have rights. You know, they may have the power and the authority to do that, but they do not have the right to do it. If you look at what those words really mean, I'm sure that you will agree with me. 718-305-7176 is the number. I kind of almost forget who's going to be in the Super Bowl. I think it is the Denver Broncos versus the Seattle Seahawks. I think that's who it is. And we had Brad Bierman on last week. Brad will join us again next week with some post-Super Bowl pre-baseball. I can't believe baseball season is almost here. I mean, February starts in 2 days. you know, it starts on Saturday. This is Wednesday night. And from February 1st, within 45 days, spring training is going to be intensely underway. And 60 days from actually a little less than 60 days, about 60 days from today, from January 29th, we are going to have opening day. And I think it's on March 30th this year or something. Normally it's been around the first day or two in April, but I'm looking forward to it. I just hope that the Orioles do better this year than they did last year. They didn't do very well at all last year. Well, I don't know about that. Actually, I'm not any kind of a fan or a baseball expert. Come on, what do you want from me? 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. On conservativenationmedia.com, Duke Brooks is my name. Very, very glad that you could be along. It has been a while since I got a, I'm not really necessarily sure that I would call Guy Chasinski a real liberal. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a liberal in which she is utterly and completely intolerant of a point of view or an opinion that is different from her own. And beyond that, she is one of these people that believe that government has within it the intrinsic ability to deliver to everyone everything they want. Or the way the Democrats like to put it, everything that they need. There's a very serious yet extremely subtle difference when government says, we're going to provide for you everything that you need. Most people would say, oh, that sounds pretty good to me. Yep. Yeah. I need a new color TV. I need a new car. I need new clothing. I need a lot of stuff. Well, it doesn't really work that way. Since government under socialism and under communism and under people like Obama and Pelosi and poor Joe Biden, those people, their attitude is, look, we're the ones doing the providing, and we will determine what your needs are. It's very seductive. Listen, look, I didn't really have enough time to discuss this with Guy. The fact of the matter is most human beings are lazy. In fact, I believe the human race as a whole, you could say, is lazy. Why? Hey, my girlfriend Linda will not argue with that. I can tell you she isn't, but I digress. If you look all through the history of the human race, the history of human technology, you will see that the vast majority of inventions, starting with the lever and going up to this latest electronic component, which is called the memristor, you'll be seeing these coming into circuit boards and silicon chips and things in the next 4 to 5 years. But anyway, everything that is invented is a labor-saving device. I mean, at the end of the day, fire is a labor-saving device. Planes are. Riding a horse is a labor-saving device. I mean, come on, man. You know, the lever, the hammer, you name it. We just love to come up with devices that save labor and make it less strenuous for us to get done what we want to get done. We are going to take a very brief little time out right now. You know, one of the worst things that can happen to an American today, and I'm not making this, I mean, seriously, it is identity theft. I mean, think about that for a moment. If it happens to you, and I hope that it does not, it could take months or even longer to recover from it. That is, if you can recover at all. So don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There really is nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. conservativenationmedia.com, click on the LifeLock banner. You will be glad you did. Stay right where you are. More of your calls, thoughts, or something like that coming up. Don't go away.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school. If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at UnitedWay.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person." I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
All righty, welcome back. And, of course, the mighty and former, the late George Harrison, What is Life? From All Things Must Pass. Duke Brooks here, 718-305-7176 is the number. Want to send a happy birthday greeting to my friend Richard Moots, who, he's not really an Internet guy. He turned 89 today. The guy was born in 1915. 1925. He turned 89 today. I'm just not all that great with numbers and doing quick subtract math things in my head is just not my strength. Anyway, guy turned 89 today. Guy got a bright, Richard, everybody calls him Moots. He got a Bronze Star in World War II because he discovered a huge cache of Nazi gold, and it probably was worth many, many, many millions of dollars. And being an honorable person, because, you know, I guess I just think that back in the 1920s and 30s and before that, people were raised to be more honorable than they are raised to be today. It seems to me the very definition of right and wrong has changed, and I think it's changed a great deal It used to be you knew what right was and you knew what wrong was, and now right is getting your hands on something that belongs to somebody else before other people do, and wrong is getting caught. You know, that's the way it is. But anyway, he turned over, he, you know, told his superiors immediately, and he received a medal. I think a lot of people would have said, yeah, I would have taken one of those gold bars and that would have been my retirement at the age of about, you know, 23 or something. I don't know. I mean, it, you know, seriously, if you're walking, you know, the proverbial walk down the street and you see gold coins laying on the ground in front of you, what are you going to do? Good grief. 718-305-7176 is the number. This is coming via the Drudge Report. Ann Coulter says that the Republicans are on suicide watch right now. Pat Buchanan says that the push for immigration reform will spell the end of John Boehner's speakership. Okay. The Ryan plan includes citizenship for illegals. This is all on Drudge right now. And, they, you know, the fact of the matter is there are a lot of people that believe that America alone amongst nations simply has no legal authority whatsoever to control its own borders. There are a lot of people in this country and in this world that believe that. There's, you know, absolutely no question about it. Apparently, the Speaker of the House of Representatives is one of them. Now, you know, when Democrats advocate for a borderless, open border society where citizenship really doesn't mean anything, it just means anybody that's near a voting booth on a particular on election day. And the Democrats, the left, of course, they want to stretch out Election Day so it's 3 or 4 weeks long. They want to make sure that as many of their people as possible can make it to the polls to vote their candidates. When the Democrats talk about, oh, we have to have compassion for the people who want to come to this country, what they mean is, they mean they want to get and keep and hold and make sure is never disestablished a permanent underclass of unskilled, barely literate people from third world countries who will come here, who will be the recipients of, not the producers of, the largesse for which this country has become known. People come here so that they can receive benefits. That's the deal. I saw a story earlier today. A guy in Illinois has been living in the country illegally. He's from either Mexico or Guatemala or something. He's been living in the country illegally for over 20 years, 7 children. Apparently the guy has never, ever worked, and he is receiving every benefit, welfare, Medicaid, food stamps, disability, all these things, and he has been in the country for 20 years, and apparently no one in his family has ever, ever done any kind of work. It, you know, as I've said very often, a safety net for our fellow citizens is one thing. A hammock is something else. And right now, what the Democrat Party is telling people is, we have a big hammock for you. Please come here. And in exchange, you will keep us in office. It's a very, very serious problem. It's going to bankrupt the country. They're, you know, they're just isn't any question about that. 718-305-7176 is the number here, Radio Free America, conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks is my name. How you doing? Things have calmed down on the chat room, but if you're listening via podcast, that is not going to matter a tinker's cuss to you. Whatever that means, I don't know. Incidentally, is anyone out there kind of like a computer type person? Because I have some pretty serious pop-up ads, Viri on the computer. When I'm using Google Chrome, they pop up. They don't go away. Maybe I have to close and run a sweep program or something. They told me about one. It's called SpyBot Search and Destroy. However, they told me about another one that's called C-Clear or something. What was it called? Well, I wrote it down, but and I used it. C-Cleaner is what it's called, C-Cleaner. For that seemed to get rid of one level of pop-up, you know, those automated ads that show up. It seemed to get rid of one level of those. However, it did not do anything about these other pop-ups that I'm looking at Drudge Report now, and here they are. So if you know anything about them and how to get rid of them, how to make these things work a little better, please call me at 718-305-7176. I would just really like to know exactly what to do about it. And another thing, I reinstalled the Weather Channel today, and I got a big thing in the middle of my screen that there was nothing I could do to make it go away that says the Weather Channel. You know, it's just like a TV set. And it simply would not go away. There was nothing that I tried all sorts of things. It just would not stop. I had to uninstall the Weather Channel. I'll have to reinstall it at some point. You know, maybe later tonight. I don't know. Anyway, you know, America, and thankfully, we are still the freest country on this earth. And those of us who love the country know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away. And our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time, and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. I got to change that. Matthew now comes to us at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Anyway, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. If you've been paying attention to us for a while, you know we've had some really great people on the air. We had a fantastic host, former police officer, named Kathy Henners, and unfortunately life sometimes intervenes in things like this, and Kathy is now traveling all over the country teaching police departments, because she's a former policewoman herself, teaching police departments how to deal with the Mohammedan threat. And it is a serious threat. They're not here to assimilate or to become part of the melting pot. They are here to impose their religion and their values. They're doing it a little tiny bit at a time. And the liberals in the media are going along with it. They're A-okay with that. Anyway, we are going to take a brief break, and when I come back, more of your calls. Some final comments. Don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs, the Delaware Society of CPAs, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
This is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Conservative Nation Radio.
There is freedom within, there is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge in a paper cup. There's a battle in the head.
Welcome back.
Many battles are
on conservativenationmedia.com. Thank you, Kevin Wade, and thank you, Crowded House. Always like that song, Don't Dream It's Over, from 1987. Anyway, 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. I'm hoping to hear from Matthew Opalisky in a couple of minutes to tell us about tomorrow night's edition of the Liberty and Constitution Community. Guy Chesinski and I earlier were discussing briefly the nature of the what is referred to in Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution as the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus. And habeas corpus is a Latin term which means we have the body. In other words, the federal government can under the right circumstances, during the appeal of a case, they can take possession of a prisoner. If the federal courts feel that a prisoner's rights are being grossly and egregiously violated in a state court, then under a writ of habeas corpus, that prisoner must be turned over to the federal government. The presumption is, when Madison and his friends wrote the Constitution in the 1780s, that a federal court would provide uniform enforcement of an accused prisoner's rights, whereas maybe a state court would not. Article 1, Section 9 of the United States Constitution, Clause 2, or Paragraph 2, the privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended, comma, unless when in cases of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it, period. Now, if the Civil War was not a rebellion and an invasion at the same time, I don't know what is. Just because this is placed in Article 1, I don't think its presence in Article 1 of the Constitution automatically or by default means that this is an act that only the Congress is empowered to take. I don't know. I don't think so. I think that, you know, towards the end of each of the articles, there seems to be sort of a series of catch-alls, different things that, you know, that the founding fathers, you know, wanted to kind of include just to make sure that they were covered. Pretty sure that just its presence in Article 1 does not mean that only the Congress itself can suspend the writ of habeas corpus. And Lincoln did. You know, I mean, obviously there's no question about it. For instance, take Article 3, Section 3, which I call 3 squared. Article 1 describes legislative powers and the restriction, the enumerated powers. In other words, these are the only authorities that the Congress shall have. Of the Congress, Article 2 deals with the privileges, responsibilities, and duties of the presidency, and Article 3 is about the courts, the federal courts. Article 4 is about the relations of the states to each other. And Article 5 is about how to amend the Constitution. Article 6 and 7 is kind of a catch-all, I think. But, for instance, 3 squared, Article 3, Section 3, I love this. It is the only crime that is defined in the U.S. Constitution. Article 3, Section 3, treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them being the states, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession in open court. The Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture except during the life of the person attainted. Now, that's a bunch of 18th century legal terminology. What on earth is corruption of blood? Well, I'll tell you what corruption of blood is. Let's imagine that let us imagine that Jane Fonda had actually been put on trial and convicted of treason. I believe that she should have been tried for treason, and I believe that she should have been convicted. I don't know if Jane Fonda has any kids. Do you know if she has any, if Jane Fonda? Linda doesn't know either. Jane Fonda is not an important enough person to either one, for either one of us to know, you know, but in any event, I digress. However, if Jane Fonda had been convicted of treason and she had children, the Congress could not attaint her, which means that they could not take away her citizenship and her daughter or her child's citizenship. that is that old English term, corruption of blood, which means not only you, but your relatives and your descendants and heirs are also going to be punished for something that you did. So, you know, they prohibited that. I don't know if there have been very many treason convictions in American history. I suspect that there have not been very many of them. I do think that, you know, the proper penalty for treason, if your act of treason involves the death of an American, I think you should be hanged for it. You know, I really do. 718-305-7176 is the number here, Radio Free America, on conservativenationmedia.com. Don't know where you live in the country. I understand in Alaska it has been in the high 30s to mid 40s for the last week and a half or so. Here in Delaware right now it's about 19 degrees or something. As I mentioned, I had to take down the Weather Channel earlier today. Who knows what's going on with this crazy thing. But it is supposed to be almost 50 here in the mid-Atlantic in Delaware on Saturday. And next week it is supposed to be above freezing in the 40s, in fact, almost all of next week. So I'm happy that the huge amounts of snow that have accumulated here and wrecked almost everything will be gone. It's going to, tomorrow being Thursday the 30th, it's likely to be right around 30 to 32 degrees tomorrow. If there's sun, we'll see some of the snow will kind of sublimate out, but not all of it. But Friday and Saturday are supposed to be in the 40s, so it's all going to go away. I'm very happy about that. Anyway, make sure you listen tomorrow night to Matthew Opalisky, the chairman of the Liberty and Constitution Community. He will be here 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com. I don't know if you're inclined, but if you are interested in hosting program here on conservativenationmedia.com, you are at free and complete liberty to contact me by email, duke@conservativenationmedia.com. It is an awful lot of fun, and we look forward to hearing from you. Anyway, that's basically where we, you know, we don't have a Friday show right now. We absolutely adored Kathy when she was here. But we also understand that sometimes people have obligations and opportunities that they want to complete, and we understand that life, that's just life, no problem. We hope to hear from her again. On Sunday we've got Bing Fisher, American by Design, excellent show. Bing's very laid back, sort of almost like a good old boy. He's a great guy. And anyway, you pretty much know the drill. You know what I'm talking about. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. I look forward to speaking with you again next Wednesday. So have a great one. And wherever you are, stay dry and stay warm. See you now.